Good morning. How are we this morning? Good, good. It is a beautiful, beautiful summer morning, and we are glad to be here worshiping our risen Savior this morning. Real quick, before I get started, I realized last week when we announced that we are having that we have gifted anyone that would like the Right Now Media subscription. I forgot to tell you, if you didn't get the email, how you can sign up for that. And so I just want to let you know real quick. I think we have a screen slide for it, don't we, somewhere? And so there are a couple ways that you can get access to it if you did not get the email in your inbox, or if it went to your spam and you never saw it or anything like that. And so the first thing that you can do is there another slide for that? That's about the email. There we go. You can text Crossroads, capital A-M-A, to 49775, and it'll send you the instructions on how you can get that free subscription. Or you can go to the link on our website at crossroadsama.church, and up in the top bar, there's a menu bar button that says Right Now Media. You can click on that. It'll take you to the page that you need to go to. You can put your information in and get that as well. And so we want to make sure that you have access to this. It's an incredible resource for you guys. It has thousands of video Bible studies on it for you, for your family, for your kids, all that kind of stuff. And so it is completely, completely free for you guys. And so we want to make sure that you're aware of that and that you take full advantage of it. And so make sure that you get access to your profile and to your account as soon as you can. So speaking of free gifts, have you guys ever received a gift before that you didn't like feel like you received, like you earned or that you deserved? Y'all ever had that happen, y'all, before? Yeah, maybe some of y'all. So it's incredibly humbling when that happens, right? It's an incredibly humbling experience. Jamie and I, we've been incredibly blessed over the years as people have gifted us so many different things, whether that's trips or maybe it was like helping us redo our sewage system in Borger and stuff like that. We've been so blessed by receiving things that we felt like we didn't deserve. But in that same process, and it's probably the same for you too, when this happens, we have to watch ourselves a little bit. We have to remind ourselves that we definitely didn't deserve whatever it was that we were given, whatever it was we received. But that's the point of a gift, isn't it? A gift is something that you get that you didn't deserve or that you didn't earn or anything like that. If we approach something as a gift, like if we approach a gift as if it's something we deserve, it becomes a wage, right? Because it becomes something that we earned on ourselves. And so it's no longer a gift. It's something that's done in exchange for something else. And so today, we're going to see that God's kingdom, it's a gift that can only be received, right? It's never earned. And so let's pray and we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here into this place and sing praises to your name. Father, to lift you on high as a body, as a family. And God, I pray that this morning, as you continually fill this place, God, that you will fill us with your word, that you will speak to us through it, that you will let it ingrain deep in our hearts, Father, and that you will let it transform us from the inside out. God, that's our continual prayer, that you continually transform us, you continually bring us closer and closer to you as you draw closer and closer to us. And so through your word today, Father, we pray that you will do just that. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, so in Mark chapter 10, if you go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, Mark chapter 10, we're going to be in verses 13 through 16. And so Mark wrote this. He says, they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God is like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. And so to kind of catch you up here, Jesus, he's begun his ministry towards Jerusalem, right? In his journey towards Jerusalem. And ultimately, he's on his way to the cross. But this journey that he's on is also a journey of discipleship. And Mark kind of paints that for us in the second half of his gospel. And what Jesus is doing is he's teaching his disciples what it means and what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, right? To be a follower of the way, to be a disciple that makes disciples. And last week, if you were here, you might remember, Mark focused in on the God-given institution of marriage, right? And that marriage should not be viewed upon in the terms of its failures, as the way of the Pharisees approached it, but that the most fundamental aspect of marriage is that it's a lifetime commitment. Right, it's one man and one woman submitting to one another in love and humility for their life. That's what marriage is. And so one thing that I want to point out here real quick, and you're going to see this play out today as well, is that Jesus has been teaching his disciples all about humility. Right, from Mark chapter 8, the second half of Mark chapter 8, even up until now, one of the primary themes that's ingrained in the scriptures in Mark is this concept of humility. And what he's been teaching his disciples is that humility is foundational for discipleship. Right? Humility is foundational for discipleship. It's foundational for following him. And that truth is still the same for us today. Right? If we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, humility should be at the core of who we are. I think C.S. Lewis, he rightfully put it when he said it this way. He said that we should seek not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. Right? That's the concept or the idea of humility, meaning that the goal of a humble heart is not to humiliate ourselves or to continually deprecate ourselves with our thoughts and our words and put ourselves down. In fact, I think the Bible actually teaches we should have a honoring view of ourselves because our Creator does. He loved us so much that he came and died for us. That's how much he loves us and honors us. He came to restore us into a right relationship with him, and so we should honor ourselves in that same way. So humility, it doesn't seek to put ourselves down, right? Humility seeks to put other people up, if that makes sense, right? To put other people before ourselves and before our own desires, right? Jesus said this himself when he said, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And these aren't just inspiring words for us to hear and be like, yeah, man, I agree with that, Jesus. Good word. Right? These are words that that put on display Jesus himself and the life that he is calling us to live. The life that he invites each and every one of us into. And so from the end of chapter 8 all the way continuing through the end of chapter 10, one of the primary things that Mark does is he displays humility through the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ. In our passage today, we see a few primary things in regard to humility and discipleship as well. Right? Jesus shows us, one, that disciples, they have a proper view of children, of kids. Right? And he shows us that a disciple also has a proper view of self. And then he shows us how those two things relate to one another and how we're to live that out. And so what Jesus is doing is he's crafting and he's transforming our hearts through his teaching so that we can be prepared to do the work of his kingdom here on earth. That's what Jesus is doing. He's doing this because he wants us to be participants in his kingdom, not just witnesses of his kingdom. And so Jesus' purpose in all of this is discipleship. He's teaching us what it means and what it looks like to follow him, and it begins with humility. And the first thing that he shows us in this passage is that disciples seek to point other people to Jesus. That's what they do, right? If we are a disciple, if we are a follower of Jesus, we seek every opportunity that we can to point other people to Jesus Christ. He said, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but then it says the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant And he said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Right? So what was happening here is people were bringing their kids. They were bringing their brothers. They were bringing their sisters. They were bringing their nieces, their nephews, whatever, their neighbors. They were bringing these kids to Jesus so that Jesus could touch them and bless them and love on them. But the disciples, right, what we see here is they didn't like this, right? They didn't like that all these kids were coming to Jesus. They didn't like Jesus having to spend so much of his time and so much of his energy on these kids. And so what did they do? Right, they stepped in the way, right? They got in the way of what Jesus was doing instead of joining him in it. And they began to rebuke the kids, and they began to rebuke their families or whoever it was that was bringing them. But the question that we have to ask is why? Right? Why were they rebuking these kids? Why were they keeping them from coming to Jesus? Why were they turning them away? Well, here's the deal. You've heard me say this before. Children in the first century culture, they weren't highly viewed upon. Like, they weren't how we typically view children today. In fact, they were seen as someone with no position, right? Someone that had no rights. They were disruptions. They were inconveniences. They were another mouth to feed. They were another person to care for. They even had, this is heartbreaking, right? They even had a dump outside of the city that people would take their unwanted kids to and leave them there. And that's today too, just so you know. Like, not necessarily in America, but I know in Guatemala for sure that kind of stuff happens in other nations as well, and it's heartbreaking. But they would do that because they were viewed upon as inconveniences. They were an annoyance. And so the disciples, they kind of had this mindset with children as well. They were an interruption. They were interrupting the more important work of the kingdom, or at least that's what they thought. They thought it was more important for Jesus to focus on the adults because it's the adults that mattered, right? In their mind, it's the adults that made a difference. And so it's the adults that should get more attention. And they thought that it was a waste of time for Jesus to spend so much time with the kids. But what we see here is when Jesus got word of this, it says that he became indignant. That's a pretty strong word to use. In fact, this is the only occurrence of this particular word in the New Testament, right? It's actually two words that are combined together that mean this. It means much grieved. And so Jesus was deeply, deeply grieved by this decision of the disciples that he became angry. Right? That's what that word indignant means. It means to show anger at what is perceived as unfair treatment. And so the disciples were treating their children and their families wrong. And Jesus saw this and he became indignant. And so he rebuked the disciples. He said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. See, Jesus doesn't want us as his disciples, as followers of his way, to hinder people from coming to him, specifically kids. Right, in the story, it was Jesus's disciples who were in the way. Right, they were the ones preventing the kids from coming to Jesus. Right, and as followers of his way, we have to make sure that we are not putting roadblocks in the way of the next generation. Right, that we're not doing anything that prevents them from coming to him. We have to make sure that we are not preventing them from coming to Jesus. And the best way that we can do this is we can model genuine Christianity. Genuine discipleship, right? To humble ourselves, to serve the least of these, to love God and to love one another, and to make sure that what we believe and that what we do is pointing people in that direction of loving God and loving others, right? And we have to place a high priority on the family unit to equip the family so that their homes are saturated with the gospel and with prayer and with grace, right? To disciple them in their faith journey, to disciple our kids and our students in that, to let them ask questions and to let them have fun in the process, right? So what this means for you and for me is that every single one of us, We should view ourselves as a parent-type figure, right? We are see ourselves in a parental way, right? Whether we have children or not, right? And we should be examples for others to follow when it comes to living a life for Christ, specifically an example for kids to follow, right? They should be able to look at us and to see the love of Christ and want to live that out in their own life as well. Right, Jesus, we see here, we know Jesus had a special affection for children. He loved them for who they were, right? Not for what they could bring to the table, which in reality is an awful lot. Kids bring a lot to the table if we let them. Man, they can teach us so many things. We just have to humble ourselves and let it happen. Jesus didn't love them only for if they were well-behaved or if they listened well, right? He loved them because they were his glorious creation, because they were his. He created them. He humbled himself in this moment, and he was loving on the least of these and holding them in his arms, and he was blessing them. He was showing them the tender love of the Father, and we're called to do the same thing. And so the question is this: how are you loving the kids in your life, whether it's here at church or in your community or somewhere else? How are you loving the kids in your life in a way that points them to the Father? How are we loving them here at Crossroads? Are you a participant in his kingdom, or are you just a witness of it? Or are we serving in the nursery or in the kids on Sunday mornings, teaching Bible lessons to them? Are we giving ourselves, are we giving so that we can do that ministry for kids, right, in this community and different things like that? I can tell you this, right, we need more of you guys to step up and to lead, whether it's back there on Sunday mornings or up here on Sunday evenings with our students. Chris and I are up here every Sunday night leading and teaching our student connect groups, and we love it. I'm going to say that. We love it. But they need more than just me and Chris. They need more than that, right? They need more adults who love Jesus and who love people. They need adults to simply embrace them in the middle of their chaotic world that they're living in, and to disciple them and to equip them on not only how to live, but how to make more disciples. Right? We should expect that of our students, right? That they're making disciples who are making more disciples, and they can do it. But they need you. One of my philosophies in student ministry and in ministry in general is to put as many godly adults in the lives of students as possible, or in the lives of kids as possible, because they need it. See, we don't just prevent our kids from coming to Jesus by not letting them go to church, right? We prevent them from coming to Jesus by how we model the love of Christ to them and the humility of Christ for them. And the disciples here, they were not modeling that love and that humility, right? They were modeling the mindset of the world in this moment. And Jesus wants us as his followers to lead kids and to lead students to him, not away from him, which means that a humble disciple, right, is always looking to point people to Jesus, whether they're kids or students or adults. That's what disciples do. They point people to Jesus. The second thing that Jesus was teaching us in this passage is disciples seek humility in life. At the end of verse 14, Jesus said this. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." Here's what I want you to hear. "For to such belongs the kingdom of God." Right? In other words, childlike people have the kingdom. Right? If you remember, the disciples thought that Jesus was coming to rule and to reign in this physical way. Right, that he was going to be a great king like King David, and that he was going to conquer and defeat the Romans and make Israel into this strong and powerful nation. That's what they thought. But this was not Jesus' mission. Right? This was not what he was coming to accomplish yet. This was not the kingdom that he was bringing in, that he was ushering in. See, the type of kingdom that Jesus is establishing is nothing like the disciples were expecting. Jesus was telling the disciples that the kingdom of God belonged to people like the children they were rejecting, That's what Jesus is saying here, that the children needed him. So Jesus is pointing out to the disciples what a true disciple looks like here. Right? He's pointing out that the kingdom of God is for the people that know that they can earn it. It's not for the people that know that they can earn it. Sorry. It's not for the people that know that they can work their way into it. It's for the people that know that they need Jesus. That's who the kingdom is for. See, the people that society would normally look at and say, man, there's no way that person belongs in the kingdom. That's the type of person Jesus says, that's exactly who belongs in the kingdom. Which is a harsh reality, right? Those are the people that Jesus is after, the people that are completely dependent on him and that have nothing to bring to the table. All they can do is receive from him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, Paul wrote this. He said, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." And so the difference that between most adults and all children is this, right? Children are 100% completely dependent and reliable on someone else. 100%. Right? A young child from birth to, I would say, probably 5 or 6, maybe even older, would not survive in this world without someone to love on them, to care for them, to feed them, and to protect them. Right? Children get what they get because someone gives it to them. Someone hands it to them. They put it in front of them. And those kids, what do they have to do? They have to receive it, right? And most of them do. Most of them do. Young kids are completely dependent on other people. And the same is true for a disciple, right? A follower of Jesus, or as a follower of Jesus, right? We cannot do enough. We cannot learn enough. We cannot give enough. We cannot be good enough. We can't go to church enough. We can't sing enough. We can't post on Facebook enough to earn our way into the kingdom. The only way that we enter the kingdom is by receiving the kingdom like a child receives. That's the only way, right? So a true disciple knows that their only resource, their only real hope is Jesus Christ. Right? It's the people that cling to him, that are desperate for him and for his presence in their lives, that long for him like a child longs for their parents. It's those kind of people that receive the kingdom. And so as followers of Jesus, we're called to have the attitude of a child. Right? We're called to understand that the kingdom of God is always only a gift. It's understanding that we will never deserve it, that we can never achieve it, we can never demand it. It's always a gift. Listen, if we ever think that we're better than another human being on the face of this earth, if we think that we're more spiritual, that we're better Christians, that we're more deserving of God's love and acceptance than anyone else, we're not having the attitude of a child. Right? We have the wrong view of ourselves as disciples. And that's exactly where Jesus' disciples are at in this moment. And that's the reason that Jesus becomes so indignant, so angry and upset with his disciples that he rebukes them because they're turning people away. See, the disciples, they didn't see the kids correctly because they didn't see themselves correctly. They didn't understand that the kingdom of God is never earned, it is only received. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus himself said this, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In Romans 3, 23 through 25, Paul wrote this, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Listen to this, to be received by faith. We receive the kingdom. We don't earn it. The invitation to God's kingdom can only ever be received. It's a gift that is given to us by God because of his grace, and we can only ever receive it through faith in him. There is no other way, right? There is no plan B. This is the only plan. But what does this mean for us, right? How are we to respond to this today? The first thing that it means is this: we have to relearn the kingdom mentality. We have to relearn what it truly means to live in the kingdom of God. We have to admit and realize that we still often think of ourselves in terms of our own kingdoms, because we do, right? Or that we have to earn God's grace somehow. We have to earn our salvation, whether we realize we do or not, right? We sometimes have that mindset. Or that we might deserve it or we don't deserve it. Or some people even struggle with the fact that they can lose it if they mess up. But I want you to hear me on this. All of that is false, right? It's lie. God's kingdom is not built on the grounds of our work and our actions, our behaviors. That's not what it's built on. God doesn't look down upon me and say, man, well, Jason, you messed up today by getting mad at that person. That's strike three. You're out. Praise Jesus, he doesn't do that, right? That's not how he works. And so we shouldn't think like that. But it's also not the idea that some people belong in this family or don't, because I think sometimes we have that mentality as well. If we become so rigid and so exclusive in who belongs and who doesn't, then we have to accept the truth that no one actually deserves to belong. See, entrance into Jesus' family is as simple as receiving the invitation of grace that he extends. It shouldn't matter what else is going on in that person's life at that time. It shouldn't. Yeah, it's true, right, that Jesus doesn't keep us the same as what we were when we first came to him. It's true that he changes us. Praise God, I'm not the same person as when I first accepted Jesus. Right? He transforms us. He heals us. He changes us from the inside out. But if we were to expect perfection or right beliefs on the very first day or even the first month or the first year or even 10 years from now, we'd all be getting kicked out, myself included. Yes, we expect progress, right? Yes, we expect change, but I want you to hear this. It's a working out of our salvation. That's how Paul puts it. And that happens from day one that we receive Jesus Christ. It's life transformation, and it only comes by receiving it from this triune God. The second thing that we have to do and what this means for us today is we get involved, right? We get involved. As disciples, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are discipling others, right? That we are equipping them to be disciples who make more disciples. And I'm not talking about just Bible studies. I'm not talking about just connect groups. Those things are important. But I'm talking about life on life discipleship. When you find someone that you love and that you care for and you say, follow me because I'm following Jesus the best that I know how. And I'm growing in that too. That's what the disciples did. That's what we're called to do. Right, we have to get involved in other people's lives. And if we're going to be involved in their lives, we have to give up some things. Right, the first thing is our pride. We have to give up our pride. We have to humble ourselves and to submit to God's grace. And we have to allow ourselves to be taught by that person as well. And to recognize that they have just as much to teach us and to offer us about the kingdom of God as we have to teach them. The second thing is we have to give up some time, right? Which is very valuable, I get it. But we have to make it intentional, right? Whether that's here on Sunday mornings with the kids and Crossroads Kids or Crossroads Kids Junior, or on Sunday evenings for our fifth and sixth Connect group or our student Connect groups or whatever the case may be, right? We have to give up some time. Right, it may be offering your home, like Chris said, as a connect group, a place for a connect group to meet. Maybe it's giving up some time to lead a connect group, so you have to study through the week. Maybe it's getting up in the morning earlier with your kids and praying with them before they go to school. Right, maybe it's taking the time once a week to use Right Now Media and to watch Bible Project videos with your kids and have discussion about it. Right, whatever it is, right, getting involved involves humble sacrifice. It involves giving up something. So we have to relearn the kingdom mentality. We have to make sure that we're be intentional about getting involved, and then we have to make disciples who make disciples. Right, if we want to take Jesus seriously, if we say we take Jesus seriously, we have to make disciples, because that's what he did. Right, we follow in his way. And we do this at home, right? We disciple our kids and our family through prayer, through gospel saturation, through discussion as we're driving to school or practice or wherever we're going. Right, we do this at work. We pray for God to open the door to start having conversations with someone and eventually enter into a disciple-making relationship with them. We teach them what it looks like and what it means to live as Jesus lived. And we invite people to follow us as we follow Jesus. And it's in our community, right? We open our homes to our neighbors. That one's hard, isn't it? Because how many of y'all agree with your neighbors on everything? No one? Yeah, okay. So what that means is if we're going to open up our homes to our neighbors, that we have to be willing to say, we're going to put aside our political differences. Because Jesus' kingdom is more important, right? We're going to put aside the differences in beliefs that we have in sexual orientation, because here's the deal. If we want them to know who Jesus is, they matter. They matter, right? We point them to our Father. We take time to get to know them and to love them and to serve them and to be examples for them, because we know that they are no better than we are, and that they are created in the same image as we are. Have them over for cookouts, right? Take the opportunity to get involved with this community-based VBS that we're going to be doing next month. Cook pancakes out on your front porch. Have potlucks at your house. Invite your neighbors to bring whatever crazy dish they want to bring. And take a risk and eat it. It's always risky, isn't it? So have Christmas parties, right? Extend the invitation to your neighbors. Whatever it is, be Jesus to your neighbors and pray for the opportunity to share Jesus with them and to invite them into a disciple-making relationship. That's what it's about, right? It's easy for us to say, hey, I want you to come to church and to let myself or to let Chris disciple them. That's the easy thing to do. In church, I want you to hear me say this. Keep doing that. But if we're going to take Jesus seriously, that means we have to take it upon ourselves to make more disciples. It means we have to make disciples who are going to make disciples. That means we have to get our hands dirty. We have to be intentional. We have to let people come into our lives and allow Jesus to do his work. So let's do that together, right? Always point them to Jesus. See, if we truly love God, we're always going to seek to love people. But we have to realize that we don't do all of this to earn our way into the kingdom of God. That's not why we do it, right? Because the kingdom of God can never be earned. It can only ever be received. We do this not out of obligation or anything like that. We do this out of humility, right? We do this out of a desire. We do these things because of what Christ so graciously did for us when he took all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our sins onto the cross himself, right? We do it because Jesus loves us and because we love Jesus. And so if you really think about it, we do it because we're going to have a childlike mindset, If you think about what children do, they do it because they love their parents. And so they want to follow in obedience because they love their parents. And so that's why we do it. And so let's be childlike as we receive the kingdom of God and as we make disciples who make disciples. Amen? So y'all know that word amen means I agree. Okay? So all of y'all just said it. All right? So I expect it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and your truth. Jesus, I pray that these words, Father, this call to discipleship that you have placed on us, Father, that we take it seriously. As followers of your way, as followers of your kingdom, Father, that we point people to you and to your kingdom. And that church is a tool for that. God, I pray that we can invite people into our homes. God, that we can invite children into our backyards. Father, that we can point them to you. God, I pray that we can invite people not only into our homes and stuff like that, but we can bring them into our lives. And we can open up that door. And we can say, follow me as I follow Jesus, just as Paul said. But God, we have to humble ourselves to do that. So God, this morning, I pray, Father, that you forgive me for my pride. God, I pray that you forgive me for where my pride rears its ugly head and it stands up and it says, I deserve this. God, I pray that we can receive your kingdom just as a child receives your kingdom. God, that we can take every opportunity that we can to point children to you, to lead them to your everlasting love. Let us never get in the way. God, help us to get involved. Help us to make disciples who make disciples. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray these things. Everyone said, amen.